with you.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Grace, peace, and welcome to you on this perfectly lovely Sunday morning. Happy to have you all here with us, here in the sanctuary, watching on YouTube channel, listening on the radio, however you can show up. We are always, always happy to have you with us. A couple of announcements. Our liturgist today is Jamie Whitworth. And is Sean Osterfund here? Well, she has been here, and she was supposed to be here because today was the day we were going to welcome her into the church. We have received on her behalf a transfer letter from St. John's Lutheran Church in town. And so I just wanted to introduce her to you this morning and have her stand up so that you could recognize her and welcome her, but she's not here today. So next week, when she will probably be here, please reach out and give her as warm a welcome into the church family as you can. I don't have any other announcements, but we have for the welcome statement today, our welcome to the whole world, Shirley Lindved is going to read that for us. Right, there she is. Come on up, Shirley.
Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. We at First United Church of Christ, Sauk City, have been embraced by the inclusive love of Jesus, and so we strive as an open and affirming congregation to be a welcoming presence in Sauk City and beyond. We invite anyone and everyone to worship and serve with us. Everyone who covenants with us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly in the way of Jesus will be a valued member of this fellowship, without regard to sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, race, or faith background.
Thank you, Shirley. Our way into the silence this morning is a liturgy we did a couple of weeks ago. There is a singing part that is yours, and I will accompany that with the reading of the 23rd Psalm. And they'll be interspersed as we go along. I will signal to you when it's time to sing, and Denny will play the music at that point too. So Denny, why don't you play through the music one time and then lead us in the singing of it.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond
He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Settle in where you're sitting. Take a deep breath. Become aware that that breath is the presence of God in you and around you. Jamie will lead us in our call to worship. If you're able, would you please stand as we read together?
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, and for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, Jesus said. In our weariness and in our burdens, we come seeking rest. I will give you rest, Jesus promised. And claiming that promise this morning, we find we are at peace. Take my yoke, Jesus said. Learn from me gentleness and humility.
Take your yoke, Lord, following your direction, and we feel our burden grow lighter and our fears grow less daunting. Trusting for this morning the love of God, the grace of Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we come with joy to worship.
This morning is number 490 in the New Century Hymnal, but like a lot of African-American spirituals, they have a variety of lyric forms. So I've chosen lyrics that I like better than the New Century Hymnal. So the words are up there, the music on the screen, and then he's going to get creative with how he plays it. So this is going to be fun. Would you join, please, in the morning prayer? Holy One, today we pray for peace in a world that knows too much of war. Shape us to play our part as a peaceful people. We pray for harmony in this congregation. Give us, this body of Christ, a spirit of reconciliation, a heart for generosity, and a willingness to listen to each other, and with judgment. We pray for the creation in all its beauty and fragility. Give us an urge to care for this mothering earth that can only be born of love. Give us the will to preserve what remains and the courage to act for the benefit of the children who will live in the world we will leave them. We ask so much because we trust your grace, the grace that keeps hope alive and gratitude constant. Amen. There is no wrong you can't confess, for which you have not already and long ago been forgiven. This is the gospel, the good news for us this morning, good news for which we all say out loud, thanks be to God. Seated, please. I should tell you, in case you're wondering, I'm not breathing really well today. I planted in my garden yesterday. I think I dug a few too many holes, and it has messed things up. So if I suddenly run out of words, I'm okay. It's just that I can't really breathe very well sometimes, so don't worry about me, please. It's all going to be okay. Our invitation to the table this morning is one of our communion songs. At this table, the words will be on the screen for you. The mystery of this table, what I most love about standing here every Sunday morning. Jesus once told his disciples that wherever two or three of them were gathered, he would be with them in their midst. And then when he gathered them around a table for their last supper together, he took a loaf of bread and he gave it to them. Then he offered them a cup to share. And then he said, that as often as they gather together at this table, they would remember him. And here's the thing. I don't think Jesus meant that we would call him to mind. He meant that we would be remembered with him, reconnected to him. He meant that all the breaks in our relationship that had happened in the past week would be repaired, the wounds healed, the cracks filled in, the mercy and grace that we had turned away from would be offered once again mercifully and graciously. The communion meal, you see, forms us into the community of Jesus' people. But even more importantly, it brings us into the company of Jesus himself. I don't know how this works. It is pure mystery to me. Some days I don't even believe it, but every time I try to trust it. Because if anything about our faith is true, it is this. When we gather to eat and drink together around this table, Jesus joins in to eat and drink with us. In the way that only God can make spiritual things more real than the physical pews you are sitting on this morning, Jesus is here sharing the bread, sharing the cup, offering us the remembering, the repair, the reconnection that we so desperately hunger for. Who knows how many Sundays any of us have left on this earth? For my part, I hope that on every single one of them, I will, if only for a few moments, stand with my family and friends in the presence of Jesus around this table, and in the presence of the one who knows our names, remembers our faces, and loves us more than we can or ever will imagine. That is my hope for us going forward. Jesus gathered his friends around a table, his last meal with them, and took a loaf of bread. And he gave thanks for the bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is for you. When you eat, remember me." After supper, he took a cup, and he gave that to his friends, saying, "Take, drink. This cup is the blood of the covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink, remember me." We gather here every week, eating and drinking in the company of each other in the presence of Jesus, proclaiming by all of this what is the mystery of our faith, that Christ has died, but Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. These are the gifts of God for all of you, my friends, the people of God. Come to the table. Everything is now ready. The bread of life given for you.
that's got the bread of life given for you. Thank you.
Would you pray with me, please? Holy One, around this table, we are remembered with the one who came to be with us, to redeem us, to bring us to you. For this gift, every time we gather, we are grateful beyond all words. Amen. We have some kids. Anybody want to come down? Who can tell me the difference between a beginning and an ending? That's
an end.
Uh-huh. And what's a beginning?
A beginning.
Right. So what's the difference?
An end is an end and a beginning is a beginning.
Can you have an ending without a beginning? Can you have an ending without a beginning?
No.
No. Can you have a beginning without an ending?
No.
Yes? No?
No.
You guys are in the same family, right? Do you fight at home too?
Yeah?
Well, he's right, you're wrong. The only way to have a beginning is to have an ending. And Jesus told a story about this one time. One of these stories that he told, but he didn't tell anybody what the story meant. So I'm going to do that to you this morning, too, and to all of you. It's a story that he told. he said, if you have a seed that can grow into something, if you have a seed, unless you plant that seed in the ground, nothing can grow. We have a bean, you plant the bean in the ground, a bean plant will grow. You don't plant the bean in the ground, what's going to happen?
It's not going to grow.
It's not going to grow. What happens to the bean after it goes in the ground?
Water it.
Well, what happens to the bean itself?
It rots.
It rots. Eventually, yeah.
It grows.
Yeah. And it grows, yeah. But if you grow a big bean plant and you pull the plant out of the ground when it's all done, is there a bean there?
No.
Because the bean is gone. Because the bean is gone, there's a big bean plant that grows up. So only if you plant the seed do you get to have beans for supper. Right? You like beans?
I do.
You do? Who likes beans here?
Lima beans.
I like mine refried on a tortilla with tomatoes and lettuce and rice and a bunch of other stuff. Anyway, the only way to make the bean plant grow is to plant the bean. Think about that and we'll pray. God, we are so grateful for the way the world goes, the way that things grow, and we have plants that feed us. We are grateful for the seeds that go into the ground so that they can make the plants grow so we can have food. Amen. Okay.
Before you excuse the
what
kids,
you got?
We have a little something for you. A gift card from the Christian Ed Department. Go buy yourself a good little treat. And then some pictures and
nice.
Words of thanks from our family. So.
Very, very nice. Thank you so much, Margaret.
Thank you to the kids and the families.
I really like this
I do too.
I'm glad you were all here today. But you can go back to mums and dads now.
I
Missed your chance. Our invitation to the offering this morning is from the Sermon on the Mount, from Matthew 5. These are the words of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. We will receive our morning offering at this time. Join, please, in our gratitude prayer. Generosity without limits, abundance we can't imagine, grace beyond our deserving, for all we receive, we give thanks. On all that we give back, we ask your blessing. For this world you love, we hope for peace. Amen. Be seated, please. We have a special treat this morning. I asked Sherry Roberts if she'd do a piano piece for my last day here today. And I told her what I would like, and she said, I ain't going to do that one. I don't argue with Sherry. But she's going to do a Bach piece. This is from the Well-Tempered Clavier, which I'm sure is going to be very, very nice. Thank you so much, Sherry. Thanks so much, Sherry. That was lovely. Jamie will have our first scripture reading for us now.
Our first reading for this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. And here we read, "Do not fear, God says, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." Here ends the reading.
Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. These words from the prophet Isaiah that Jamie just read were sung into Israel's ear at the very time as they found themselves held in captivity in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, the dread king emperor of Babylon, has sent his army to Jerusalem. After a long and bloody siege, they broke through the walls and proceeded to tear down everything they saw. When they were done, the holy city was a trash heap. The beloved temple, the dwelling place of God on earth, was in ruins. Exile in Babylon would be their future. Yet into that darkness and devastation, this utter loss of everything good and true and beautiful, their God speaks, "Do not fear. I am with you. Do not be afraid. I am your God." The continuing promise of the song, of course, is that whatever comes to us, all appearances to the contrary notwithstanding, we will never be alone. This promise is for you this morning, as much as it was for Israel 2,500 years ago. Our second reading for this morning is one that we've heard often over the last couple of years. And the reason I go to these words so often is because these words are just so very true. This is from the first letter of John, chapter 4. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves knows God and is born of God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. When we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us." Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer.
Amen.
There is a story told about St. John that I'm quite sure never happened, but it is nonetheless entirely true. Some of you have heard this before, I'm sure, but it's worth repeating. Many years after the first Easter, the Apostle John became the pastor of a small congregation up somewhere near the city of Ephesus. He was a good, faithful, hard-working pastor. Every Sunday he would lead worship, and week after week he would bring them a fresh word from their scripture. Until, that is, the Sunday when he walked into the pulpit, looked out at his people for an unusually long time, and then he said, "My little children, let us love one another." And then he sat down. Well, this was something they'd never heard before. It was new, it was short, and they liked it. Besides, it meant that they could go downstairs to the fellowship hall and have a much longer potluck together than ordinary. But they were more surprised when John entered the pulpit the next Sunday, looked out over his people for another unusually long time, and said again, "My little children, let us love one another." And he sat down again. Well, this went on and on for years. People began to wonder, but no one had the nerve to ask him why he was doing this. I guess they didn't want him to think that they were questioning his theology or maybe his sanity. But as we all do, you know, John grew old. And soon he was walking into church with a cane. And when the cane was no longer enough, two young men would support him and guide him up into the pulpit. But every Sunday, year after year, the message stayed the same. "My little children, love one another." The day came when he couldn't walk at all, and they began carrying him in on a bed. John would raise himself up on one elbow, gaze at his people for as long as he could, and he would say what everyone knew he was about to say, "My little children, love one another." Then one Sunday, the church elders got together. "Look," one of them said, "Pastor John, he's getting really old. We aren't going to have him with us much longer. If we're ever going to find out why he's been doing this for so many years, we have to ask him now." So together, they walked to John's house. They were ushered into his room. They gathered around this much-loved, faithful man, and one of them said, "Pastor John, we have to know why, week after week, for years now, do you say the same thing to us? Why do you tell us over and over and over again to love one another?" Well, the old pastor gave him a sly grin, like he was thinking, "Well, it's about time somebody asked." He raised himself up on one elbow, gazed at his friends for as long as he could, and he said, "Because when you have done this, you will have done everything." Now, I am no apostle, but here at the end of my time at First United Church of Christ in Sauk City, I find I don't have much else to say to you either. Only this. My dear friends, when you love one another, or better put, as you are loving one another, as you are loving Sauk City, you are doing everything that your God has called you and equipped you to do. And remember, as you do this, something that Archbishop Desmond Tutu once said: ultimately, our greatest joy comes when we do good for others. So I guess I'm pretty much done preaching. But before I go, I want to leave you with a bit of pretty good poetry. Two poems that express both my hope and my expectation for you as you move into this new time at First Church. The first poem is by Maya Angelou. And if you ever have time to read something by Maya Angelou, take the time. Her work is consistently exquisite. She calls this her wish, but I'm reading it as a prayer. My wish for you and my prayer for you is that you continue. Continue to be who and how you are, to astonish a mean world with your acts of kindness. Continue to allow the humor to lighten the burden of your tender heart. Continue in a society dark with cruelty to let people hear the grandeur of your laughter, the grandeur of God in the peals of your laughter. Continue to let your eloquence elevate the people to heights they had only imagined. Continue to remind the people that each is as good as the other and no one is beneath you or above you. Continue to remember your own young years and look with favor upon the least and the lost and the lonely. Continue to put the mantle of your protection around the bodies of the young and the defenseless. Continue to take the hand of the despised and diseased and walk proudly with them in the high street. Some might see you and be encouraged to do likewise. Continue to plant a public kiss of concern on the cheek of the sick and the aged and the infirm, and count that as a natural action to be expected. Continue to let gratitude be the pillow upon which you kneel to say your nightly prayer, and let faith be the bridge you build to overcome evil and welcome good. Continue to ignore no vision which comes to enlarge your range and increase your spirit. Continue to dare to love deeply and to risk everything for the good thing. Continue to float happily on the sea of infinite substance which set aside riches for you before you had a name. Continue. And by doing so, you and your work will be able to continue eternally. Continue in this vein, and you will likely find yourselves being and becoming the church, the body of Christ in Sauk City, in ways you have yet to imagine. Follow the Spirit into this new future, daring to love deeply, to risk everything for the good thing. And you will likely find your life together growing richer than you have yet imagined. The second poem is one that I wrote a few years ago. It's suitable, I think, for this new transition time when, to paraphrase St. Paul, the old is almost finished and gone, and when what is new is soon to come, and it will seem fresh and new. In this time, you will need to hold on and to hold close the people sitting next to you this morning. My poem is a reflection of one of those times that I failed to do just that. And we have some slides for this one, Scott. Scott is in two places at once this morning. It's called Pathway. There is a stumbling stone path to a red granite ledge overlooking my favorite lake. Her rock-hewn stairway, irregular in rise and tread, taunts lungs and legs, teasing you. You'll never get there, she says. But when you do get there and look down hundreds of feet into that other sky, deep in its own blueness, Framed with pine, birch, and sandy beach, almost you forget the weariness in your limbs. The down path is another story. Fewer stairs, but more turns, an unreliable incline. And if you aren't careful, if you don't hold your little girl's hand tightly enough, she will slip away. Her knee will find the painful edge where blood will flow, an accusing cry arise, "Daddy, let go of my hand." And once again, you will have disrupted the universe by letting go. Fail to hold secure what you love, and what you love will slip from your grasp. I know this is true. I don't know always what a prayer is, either in the speaking or the hearing. But I would pray to hold on, to never too soon or too easily let go. I would pray for a clasp of hands and a twinning of hearts that life will smile on and death respect. I would pray never to walk the path alone. Amen. Before I turn the prayer mic over to Jamie, I get to go first today with offering a prayer of gratitude for all of you for the 2 years and 5 weeks that you gave me to be here at First Church in Sauk City. It has been good. I have learned a lot. I have laughed a lot. I've gotten very close to many of you, and I am just immensely grateful for all that you have given to me. So I wanted to begin our prayer time by thanking God for all of you, for your generosity, for your kindness, and to express my hope, my expectation. Hope and expectation are very closely aligned, you know, for your future here at First Church. So thank you. Who else has something?
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.